But I do entirely endorse what's been said by Andrew Parker, the head of MI5, that the evidence suggests that the terrorist threat in the United Kingdom is as serious as it has ever been. We've had this kind of problem for a good number of years. But as Mr. Parker pointed out, the intelligence agencies are finding it increasingly difficult to be able to intercept the kind of communications between terrorists and people they are working with.
But the result of him saying that will be, won't it, that people are frightened?
Well, people will be nervous. Of course, that is right. But the record so far is exceptionally good. We have not had a major terrorist attack since 7/7 in 2005. That's 10 years ago. We've had the murder of Lee Rigby. We've had a number of individual incidents of a dreadful kind. The agencies, the intelligence agencies, the police have been remarkably successful. But it's only realistic to point out that you can't be certain that you can cover every eventuality. Let me just give an example. What is emerging in Paris is that the two individuals responsible for the terrible massacre at Charlie Hebdo may have been linked to Al-Qaeda in Yemen. Now, they must have been communicating with people in the Yemen over the last few days, last few weeks. The hugely important objective is to enable intelligence agencies in Britain and France and other democracies to be able to get hold of these communications to try and prevent incidents of this kind.
Exactly. Now, in that case, are you saying this morning that the Paris attack should change the terms of the debate that we've been having in this country about surveillance?
I don't think it changes the terms of the debate. I think it gives added weight to the point that in a realistic world, if you're dealing with international terrorism, how do international terrorists communicate with each other? In the modern world, they communicate through the internet, through email, through social messaging, and all the technical ways that we are aware of. So our intelligence agencies, acting under law, acting on good, reasonable grounds, with authority, have to have the power to intercept particularly international communications that might be relevant to preventing terrorist attacks.
What Nick Clegg says in the Telegraph today, and a lot of people will feel this as well, that the phrase he uses is we win this struggle not by increasing our security, but by protecting our liberty. And the fear will be that there are knee-jerk things that we do, and it has been done in the past, hasn't it, where we get frightened and we take decisions about security that reduce our freedom as citizens.
I 100% agree with that, and I think that is a very sensible, precautionary statement to make. That's not the function of our intelligence agencies, to spy on ordinary members of the public. What we are talking about is ensuring that they have the technical capability and the legal authority to use modern methods to target, to find individuals who may be plotting serious crime. We know from what's emerging from Paris that these individuals were already on the radar screen. We know that one of them had served indeed a term of imprisonment. Now, I don't know the exact way in which they were under surveillance in France. We had a similar issue which the Intelligence Security Committee reported on with regard to the Lee Rigby case. Our intelligence agencies can't just intercept people's emails indiscriminately. There has to be evidence that points towards guilt or complicity or attack planning.
But what they also want, though, is that records of all the conversations that we have are kept so that they can be accessed if there is some case
Not kept by the government. That was the controversy in the United States.
Yeah.
Where it became revealed that the United States...
And some people will feel that that's going too far.
Well, if it was a question of being held by the intelligence agencies, it would be going too far, and that's why it's never been allowed in the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. What is at issue is whether the communication companies, BT, Vodafone, other companies that are involved in these matters, should be required to keep records so that if there is at any stage a need to consider interception or checking information of that kind, it can be done under lawful authority.
Can I ask you, I don't know whether you heard our report from High Wycombe at 7:15 or so. We talked to, our reporter talked to perfectly reasonable, decent-sounding man who said, among other things, that he loved the Prophet Muhammad more than he loved his own children. And he was, to put it mildly, ambivalent about... I mean, he certainly didn't support the killings in Paris, but he also didn't support Charlie Hebdo's right, as some would see it, to publish the original cartoons that caused so much offence. We have a difficulty, don't we, talking about people who are not violent, people who are not enemies of the state, but people nonetheless who have a very different view of freedom to that expressed by a lot of people since what happened in Paris.
Well, there is a legitimate debate in a democracy about the extent to which very, very distasteful material should appear in either magazines or newspapers or on television. Of course, that is a legitimate debate.
Do you think that man had a point to say actually that...
I didn't hear exactly what he said, but I don't think there is a particular argument for Islam that doesn't apply to all religions and to other controversial points of view. But this is not what's at stake at the moment. Of course, you can argue that newspapers or magazines should have constraints upon them. I wouldn't necessarily support that, but it's a legitimate argument to make. What we cannot allow that to obfuscate is the sheer acts of terrorism that are being used as a way of blackmailing, of pressurizing, of forcing democratic societies to undermine their fundamental values.
Sir Malcolm Rifkin, thanks.
The time is now 18 minutes to 8. The first private...